And then he now went, according to the word of the Lord, in verse 8, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Now the story talking about faith again is how come the widow understood that Elijah was not a false prophet. I just want to explain that briefly, and then we'll close. Like I said, I've explained this several times, but I just want you to be part of this, our Naomi thing. Now, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And as she was about to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. Behold, I'm gathering a few sticks." That's why you met me here, she was saying, "that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That it will be our last meal." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. In verse 16, he says, "The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah." Now, I'm not going to belabor this point much, because I've said many things about it here and there. Like I said, I just want to add it to complete what we are doing today. This was the question I answered when I began to write the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. It was an answer to this question. All right? The question is that, how did the woman know that he was not a false prophet? And there are prophets who are true prophets, but they spoke when God did not speak to them. And you also, you've seen, it's in the Bible, number one. And God said that they ran, I did not send them. All right? Uh-huh. And there was an old prophet that lied to a younger one. Do you follow the point? All right. So these things happen. How did she know that man at that point was a true prophet and he was speaking a right prophetic word? Again, now we can learn all kinds of methods of discernment. I'm about to digress again. Please pardon me, okay? You have seen books. 592 questions to ask before you say, "I do." You want to marry? They give you 300 questions to ask. Or you go to one particular church and they give you 400 prayer points in one night on this same matter, marriage. Hear it. It's a waste of time. You know, before I try to be diplomatic when I want to preach, but people will refuse to learn. So let's just say it goes out. All right? If you want to start asking questions, you will not stop asking questions. There are crucial questions you are supposed to ask, and we will explain it again in a moment. You cannot ask 200 questions before you say, "I do." While you are still asking, the bobo or the girlie go marry somebody else. That's a matter of fact. What I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. How do you judge prophecies? People will say, "Did the prophet drink the night before or he did not?" How do you know that? You give him a breathalyzer test, put a breathalyzer in his mouth to see whether he's reeking of alcohol. Or you draw a line, say, "Baba prophet, walk on the line with your eyes closed." You want to judge prophecy? Okay, fine. Of course you can't do that to your prophet. How do you know he's prophesying correctly or he's prophesying a lying prophecy? Alright? Or is he lying to you? How do you know? They say, does the prophecy confess Christ Jesus? Most prophecies don't say anything about Christ Jesus. Even this one did not. And Prophet T.B. Joshua also shouts Christ Jesus. Does he not? He's still lying to them. I mean, people like him, they're full ground. They're full ground. In the Bible, did the sons of Sceva not try that one too? So forget.
If you want to be confused, all those points they give us for judging prophecies, they don't work. Most of those points, they don't. Yeah. Most of them, they don't. One of the reasons is that you can't even apply it. How do you want to ask the prophet that, are you an adulterer or you are not? Number one, is an adulterer doesn't mean it can't give you a true prophecy. Do you follow my point? And by then you walk up to a man and ask him that, he will slap you and he should. So how will an Elijah show up at your doorstep? Just give you a word. And then look, if it's a word that he shall be well, that one has smart enough. If it is well, you know God spoke to him. If it is not well, you know God did not speak to him. I mean, I heard the story recently of one woman prophesying, he shall be well. They cast away all her enemies and prophesied good upon her. The following week, her son stabbed her to death. That prophet didn't see anything. The boy took her and killed her properly. Not a mistake. After I finished killing her, he dragged her somewhere, buried her in a shallow grave, took her car to campus and was gyrating there. He knows that evil spirit possessed the boy. No, that was possession of an evil spirit. What am I saying? You can use all kinds of keys to try and judge prophecy. They are told Christianity is simple. Is that not so? Yes, very simple. And don't forget, it is God that ministers the spirit of faith. I didn't read that thing. The one you see the word spirit of faith, maybe I'll talk about it next time, all right? That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, all right? Paul's talking about having the same spirit of faith, all right? As David. You know, he quoted something, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. There is a spirit of faith. This, when you see somebody has a spirit, what it means is that there is a background state of his heart. That's what that word means. That pushes him in a particular direction. A spirit of faith is that one that quickly responds to what God is saying and quickly obeys the word of God. And that's what I'm saying, that only God can supply to somebody. And this is how God supplies it. I've already explained it. We started with the issue of Ruth. Alright? Now I'm coming down now to the issue of the widow of Zarephath. What did the woman do? How did she know? I don't want to go into it. I discussed in the book and I've discussed several times before, and our time is almost gone for the day. So I'll just summarize everything. How did she know he was telling the truth? There are two things. And one is the first thing I want to emphasize again today. Number one is that it didn't matter. Yes, that's number one. If you come to me now and say, Pastor Banky, hear ye the word of the Lord. Jesus appeared to me last night and said, on the 15th of July, 2010, this year 2010, I shall return in my glory and take my church up with me. Do you know whether I believe you or not is irrelevant? People say, I'll quickly repent of my sins. Which one am I committing now? Let me repent of it, whether you prophesy or you don't prophesy. Will I stop going to work because Jesus is coming back on the 15th of July? I say, Jesus is coming back next Saturday, we won't come here again. No, I'll ask a simple question. So, now that you have come to disturb me what the Lord told you, how is this supposed to change my life? Listen, when you want to prophesy such rubbish prophecies, go and meet sinners that need to repent. Don't disturb my soul. It won't affect me in any way. That day, I will still wake up, have a bath, eat breakfast, lest I go to heaven hungry. Now, are you getting my point? Now, this is breakfast I would have eaten even though you didn't prophesy. Now, you are getting what I'm saying? Back to the widow of Zarephath. Why did she give to Elijah? There are many reasons. But number one reason is that whether he's right or he's wrong, one thing is certain, he's hungry. Do you get my point? Did God speak to him? Bensaniba. Did God not speak to him? Inaruana. That is, I don't know, I don't care. One thing I am certain about is that Bobo is hungry. And it is always good to give food to the hungry. Whether he prophesies it out of your pocket or not, you should give me food. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the... That, listen, I talked about love. It's so into the spirit. That doesn't say so. The point is that whether God spoke to him or he did not, he would have gotten that food out of that woman. And as I've said several times, let me just add it to it again. I know you are tired of hearing it, but me, I'm not tired of saying it too. You know the reason? You're not the only one that's listening to this message. It's going somewhere else. It is a wrong application of scripture for somebody to pick the story of this woman and say, who will get up tonight and do something dangerous for the Lord? That his flower verse, whatever it is that she was using, the jar of oil may not become empty. I want somebody to come out right now. Quickly, go to the bank, empty your account. And say, that account will never become empty. Listen, bros, if you have never emptied your account before, don't start that day. You will cry. Because hear you the word of the Lord also. The account shall be empty for a long time. Because like I love to say, that widow, think about it. Let us assume one neighboring widow hears it. Eh? So Mama Silifa does not buy flour again. Ever since this prophet came to her house. And I have heard that all she did was to give the prophet her last meal. What shall we do? Eh? Let's quickly eat until it remains only one plate. The next day we take the one plate and go to him. Good morning, sir. If I were Elijah, I would collect the food, eat it, Domino's Vobisco. I mean, your food is gone, man. I mean, it's a good prayer. The Lord be with you and me. What is it? But we all know it couldn't have worked. I mean, it would not have worked. Like I like to say, before that we do, before Elijah left the brook, that widow's miracle was determined. Her miracle was not determined when she met Elijah. You know, you read the scripture. Elijah left the brook because of the widow. He wasn't just stumbling around. Tumbon, tumbon, any widow there. Tumbon, tumbon, any widow. No, he wasn't doing that. There was a particular widow he was sent to. Are you getting my point? And Jesus said it clearly. He said there were many widows in Israel, but to none of them was Elijah sent. But to that one in Zarephath, in that province called Sidon. Not even near there. You know, anyway, I don't want to go into the other side of the prophecy. Not even in Israel. Somewhere else. So it was not an accidental discharge that she got a miracle. Which is a question we must always ask. Therefore, why did Elijah leave the brook to come to her house? I have two answers to that. Number one, people like Elijah or other hungry people had eaten food in her house when she had plenty. They were hungry. She gave to them. When she became hungry, their God remembered her and sent Elijah with a breakthrough for that family. A man who starts giving when a fire brigade offering razor shows up will not get anything. He can't get anything. God is not mocked. You can't just get a one day, say you do something dangerous one day, and your whole life will come dangerous after. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Went to preach somewhere recently. I said there are keys to life. One young man came up. Said, sir, can you just give me two of those keys, especially in the area of financial prosperity? I looked at the young man. I said, all right. Jonathan, you were there. I looked at the young man. I said, all right. Number one, patience is the first key. Number two, diligence in using your skill is the second key. Number three, bear in mind, it does not happen overnight. My bro lost interest. I perceived there and there that the guy had lost interest. I wish I was a fire brigade guy. I would have stood up. Young man, as you approach, The Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he said, right now, you will do something dangerous and make a commitment. And say, God, I will collect his money. And make him sign 12 post-dated checks that I will collect every month for the next 12 months. You mean one breakthrough? You go see her now. Hey, listen, I'm sorry to say this. It's sad, but as a matter of fact, these are things that people use to make merchandise of our souls. And it's not their fault. They are sent by God. Yes. You know that they are messengers of God? God has different messengers. There's one very prominent one in the Bible. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. God used to call him Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Go and check it. Yet, Nebuchadnezzar never did anything good for the people of God. Now flogging, beating, harassment, plundering of the temple. And God said, my servant, Nebuchadnezzar. The young man who I sent came to see me once from Ebonyi State, he was a politician who God spoke to that no matter what you do, you won't win that election. They dragged him to, they said, let's go to one DBA somewhere that can cook serious matters. He said, I'm a Christian, so they left him. Then they came back and said, how about pastor? We have found a real pastor that can pray the prayer. So he followed them to that one. When he finished, that one first collected arrears of tithe for two years that he was in office. I'm serious about that. So the pastor said, okay, first thing is that he has not been honoring the Lord. So arrears. Oh, he said, Mecha, you were here now. It was me and you that said that you're here in the gist. The guy first collected the arrears. Now, this is the point I'm coming to. That young man said that God sent that pastor, that's what I'm coming to collect the last thing that I had. I said, good. So, naked, he came into the office, naked, he returned. The last money he had, in fact, he had to give his car as collat somewhere to borrow and to settle the pastor and other people. He could not repay the money, so they sold his car. So naked he went into the office, naked he came out of the office. Now God has spoken to him, saying, you will not win. Do whatever you like. That office, you know, they enter. Let me not bore you with the rest of the gist. But the point I'm bringing on the young man's story is that he said this was the man that God sent to collect the last that I had. When Micaiah was prophesying before Ahab and Jehoshaphat, he said, I saw God sending a lying spirit into the mouth of his prophets. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, when people like that show up, they are sent of God. You see, hey, there's a new book I want to write, a small book, How God Speaks. So that by the time you finish reading the book, you will stop asking God to talk to you for 1 year. And say, God, please, you will withhold this talking small. Because, like I said the other time, frequency, now it matter. It is not who is talking. It is where you are tuned to. So if I say, God, please suspend transmission until we fine-tune this receiver. Then you will pray and fast and read the Bible and confess your sins for 1 year. When you are sure your ear has been cleaned of all kinds of wax, you now turn on the radio. Say, God, switch on. What am I saying? The kind of messenger that God sends to you is dependent upon the kind of heart that you have. If you're a wicked soul that loves to beat your wife and divorce her, God will send Moses that will say, okay, give a certificate of divorce, not kill her. Are you getting my point? But if you're the type that has a clean heart, then God will send a messenger called Jesus Christ and who will say to you, no, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It depends on where your heart is. That's why I'm not impressed. Then God began to speak to me, and the Lord shared to me, and the Lord now said, and the Lord said, hey, only you. Okay, go on now. Now, wow. So what were you eating when he was talking? Now, breakfast, supper, or lunch? And the God spoke to me. I'm not saying God does not speak, but this, let's not harass ourselves with that. It's what you are hearing that matters. It's not who's talking. Because a lot of God spoke to me. Have you seen this one before? You dial an MTN line. It's ringing, you know. Or sometimes you are talking, just cuts off and say, the number you have dialed is not available at this moment. Sometimes God is talking to people, then suddenly the network in their hearts will just cross. Bam! God wanted to say, don't go. Then the thing will just flicker. Then the don't will not arrive in their ear. What you hear is, go. And the name is what? Balaam. That's what happened to Balaam. The network in his heart crossed. God didn't want him to go. That was why God waited on the road, ready to slaughter whoever passes that place. Do you follow the point I'm making? What am I saying? So, for the widow of Zarephath, it is not who spoke or did not speak. The kindness. Are you following my point now? Listen, there are business opportunities. Many people are going to pray, God, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I not do it? God say, God won't say anything. God won't say anything. Why? Because in doing it, are you planning to bless somebody or defraud somebody? He knows it is clear to you. You know the one that is there. So why are you asking me? Do you follow my point? Whatever you hear at that point is based upon where your heart is. That's what I'm talking about, the story of the widow of Zarephath. Let's not beat our heads over how did she know Elijah was right or wrong. It doesn't matter. The guy's hungry. And the man was nice. He did not ask for her son's portion. Asked only for her own. If I'm going to die tomorrow, I mean, I should die today. What's the difference? 24 hours. For adventure is a prophet. Let's just who give him. Even if he's not a prophet, at least he's hungry. What am I saying? When I say how God speaks to people, I want to emphasize to believers that the doing of right and the walking in love is how God talks to people. Do you get my point? It's the doing of the right things and the walking in love. Listen, a lot of people, listen, you know, I've been prophesying to you. Another prophecy just came to my mind. You know, I told you that one day you will be about to sign the deal and you will start laughing. Hear the next prophecy concerning that deal. The day you will enter into the path that will lead you to that deal, nobody will talk to you. You will be showing somebody kindness. All that we take into that business discussion will be the help you are trying to help somebody. Which at the beginning may even have looked like it was going to deny you something. Do you get my point? Maybe you had an important deal that morning which was going to earn you 5,000 naira, 5K. And for you that was breakthrough. But you have a friend of yours who couldn't speak the language properly, either it's English or your native tongue, now called, or somebody that you didn't even know so well, and you realize that if a local man is not present to speak the language, he stands a chance of losing a million. So you weigh your gain of 5,000 and weigh his potential loss of a million naira. So you weigh your 5,000 naira gain so as to help him save a million. That will be the day that suddenly they'll take it. Why don't you do this part of it for us? Then from there, you move from one level to the other. Then somebody say, how did God speak to you to enter into this business? Say, he did not say anything. It was the day this particular man was coming to town. And I was going to lose 5K so that I may help him save potentially a million naira.